So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And welcome, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So we are live. I think it's a Wednesday. No idea what day it is these days. We're in the garden and it is so warm. I think it's warm right now in England as well. Hopefully it is. And hopefully you're all staying safe and doing well. And hope that you're all wearing masks and all the rest of it. So let's just talk about the opportunity of 2020. And I've been speaking to a lot of people who have been furloughed or they're at home or they've been furloughed and there's a risk that they might not have a job to go back to. And obviously very worrying times. And so there's really two ways to see this right now, as far as I can see. The first one is where the sky is falling down on us and there's nothing you can do. So, you know, your life is in the hands of other people. That's definitely one way of seeing the world. That's not how I see the world, however. So the second way, which is my way, which is whenever there is something big going on, there is an opportunity somewhere. And your job is to try and find what that opportunity is. And you might not know what the opportunity is. And sometimes it might present itself and you might not see it because you don't know it's an opportunity. So someone might say something to you in passing, you know, someone's business is going bust. Like, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, oh, that's interesting to me. Because why is the business going bust? Is there an opportunity there for someone like me to come in and maybe take over that business for maybe a pound? Or do I need to put some money into that business to change it? Or is there just fundamental problems in that business? You know, they sell, it's Blockbuster Video, they sell VHS cassettes. Is there a fundamental business there? But I think your job should be to find out what the opportunities are. And if you can't see any right in front of you, you need to mix it up a little bit. You need to speak to more people. You need to get out more. You need to find where problems are happening in other people's businesses, in other people's lives, in other people's properties. If you, you know, if you know someone and their property business is going bust, well, hang on a second. Where's the opportunity there? There are always opportunities in times of transition, as we'll call it. And there's a great wealth being moved over right now from small businesses to much larger businesses, a huge swathes of wealth being transferred over. And I'm sat here and I'm thinking, how can I get a piece of that pie? And that's the same question that you guys should be asking too. What is the pie, first of all? And how can I get a piece of it? So someone, I don't know who it is, but someone's just saying when there are problems, there are opportunities. And you're absolutely 100% right. There are always problems, okay? But in these great times of transition, and that's what I'm going to call this right now, there's even bigger opportunities out there. And so your question that you should be asking yourself is, where is the opportunity? And what do I need to do to either, well, to first of all see the opportunity and then to be in a position to be able to do something about that opportunity. So, for example, right now in Leeds, there is a solicitor's that's up for sale and I'm interested in knowing the numbers around that solicitor. So we're investigating that. Now, we may or may not be in a position to buy a solicitor right now, but there are cash purchases, there's deferred payments, there's all sorts of different ways around buying a business. And so the question is, why are you selling? What are you going to do with the money? And by the way, this is exactly the same when we're sourcing property deals. So if, you know, oh, my mate's selling, oh, why is he selling? You know, my mate's selling a house, oh, why is he selling a house? Well, he's selling a house because, insert problem, usually. He's just got a divorce, they've got loads of debt, he's just lost his job, they're in a bad way. He's moving back to his mum's, she's moving back to her mum's, they're going to separate. There's an opportunity there. And you might go, oh, vultures going in. Well, hang on a second. If you can help the guys and girls sell their property and move on, I think that's a massive win. And if they don't want to do it, they just say, no, we're not ready to sell to you. Thank you very much. We're going to stick it with an estate agent. We're going to let them take 12 weeks on the market and use every excuse under the book as to why it's not sold. And then we're going to drop price. And then we're going to find a buyer eventually after another 12 weeks. And then the sale's going to fall through. at the 11 week. So then here they are, 33 weeks in, more than that, actually, 12, 24, 35 weeks in. And then they're going to come back to you and go, do you know what, that estate agent thing, that didn't work. Can you buy it? Or have you got someone on your panel? Like right now, we've got investors buying from overseas. Like the UK is on a massive sale right now, and people don't kind of understand this. And oh, there's no money in the UK. There's plenty of money, and there's a lot more money outside of the UK buying the UK from underneath our feet right now. And we've totally got to understand, what else is going on other than the stuff that's right in front of us. And the stuff that's right in front of us as well is Eamon Holmes being racist on GMTV, which is always entertaining. Anything from the BBC, anything from the Daily Mail, that's not reality. The reality is right now is all these people from all over the place who've got all sorts of problems that you can go in and solve. And that's literally what we do. There's a comment, and I'll come to the comment in a minute, for a person who read the comment. So what we do is we solve problems. I need more marketing. Great, we can solve that problem. We've got a social media agency that creates that. I need a sales funnel. Great, we can solve that problem. I need to sell my house fast because I'm getting a divorce. Great, we can solve that problem. A friend of mine is selling his business. Great. What business is it? What problem can we help him solve? Why is he selling it? And so on. But always problems that you can solve. Raheem, I'll come on to you in just a minute, by the way. So we've got a comment. Do you think we are due a crash of the housing market, maybe currently be propped up by the government's temporary schemes such as stamp duty adjustments? What do you think will happen once the government cut back on the support for the housing market? That's a wonderful question, and you're not going to like the answer. Right. So let me give you the answer. Okay, you're not going to like. Who cares is the answer that you're probably not going to like. It doesn't matter. If there is a crash, what do you think is going to happen in the crash? Well, 30% of property is going to happen. Great. Has that happened before? 2007? Yeah. What happened? Housing went back not only to the prices that it were, it's gone above the prices that it was. That's what happens in a crash. It doesn't matter. Now, it does matter if you've bought 10 houses off plan that are going to complete in 2 years' time. You bought them at a discount, that's not really a discount from a builder, and then there's a crash, and now you've left, these 10 houses that you were buying for 100 that were worth 120 but are now only worth 80, and you've spent 100 on each one. That is a problem. So I would definitely wouldn't recommend you by buying anything off plan. But right now you should be dropping your leaflets, you should be speaking to vendors, you should be finding properties, and you should be buying properties. And we dollar cost average everything. Stocks and shares. Well, what if there's a crash? Great. It means we can buy more stocks and shares at a cheaper price. We're dividend investors as well, by the way. So we're looking for 6% yields on shares. So if I buy £1,000 worth of shares today, and tomorrow that £1,000 worth of shares is only worth £500, that's great. It means tomorrow, when I spend my next £1,000, I'm going to buy twice as many shares. Okay. So that's dollar cost averaging. It averages out. And there's a good book by Tony Robbins called Money. Read that book. Talks about dollar cost averaging. Doesn't matter when you time the market or trying to time the market. It simply doesn't matter. The key for you is to get into the market, and it's the same on property. What do you think is going to happen? I'd be interested to know. Obviously, this a stamp duty issue right now, because there is no stamp duty on first homes anyway. The 3% on second homes is still there. But what that means is that there is an even bigger opportunity for people from overseas to be buying properties right now. So there's an opportunity there. When stamp duty comes back in, it might drop a little bit, but I'm not convinced as to how much it's going to drop. The bigger problem that we've got is Brexit. And if you're pro Brexit, by the way, you really shouldn't be watching or engaging in any of my stuff. It's not for you, it's for other people. Just put that out there. We don't mind losing viewers and podcast listeners. If you're pro Brexit, this channel is really not for you, because there's nothing on here that will interest you. I live here in Spain, and that's affecting me significantly this year. But that's going to be a bigger problem. And so, but the original principle still stands. It doesn't matter what the problems are. If aliens land tomorrow, the original principle still stands. I'm still buying property, probably not in Washington, D.C. If you've seen Independence Day, you'll know why. But I would still be buying property, right? It doesn't matter what happens. The only time I probably stop buying properties is if Thanos comes along, clicks his fingers, and half the world's population disappears. I probably won't be buying property in that specific circumstance. Okay, Rahim asked, what legal documents do you need to be a legitimate deal sourcer? So there are plenty, actually. You need to get your insurance sorted out. You need to be a member of the Ombudsman. You need to be in the PRS. You need to get your, depends what sort of deals you're doing, but you need to get your memorandum of sale in place. You need to get your, what else would it be? It depends on the deal, you see. Is it a lease option agreement? You might need one of those. So there are plenty. We cover a lot of it on the training course, by the way, £27, and the link's down below. But it's going to cost you about £1,000. You also need debt protection registrar. I always forget that one. But you've got to be legitimate. This is the thing. You absolutely have to be legitimate when you're sourcing property deals. And this is what I see. If you go, oh, I'm not spending £1,000. It's like, that's crazy. People are going to university to study for 4 years and are spending £100,000, including accommodation and food and everything else. And yet people aren't going to invest in themselves and spend £1,000 to become property compliant as a sourcer. You need to, basically, you're an estate agent. And that's the same level of compliance that you need as a property sourcer. And I get that some people don't want to spend that, or they haven't got that money to spend. I totally get that. In which case, get yourself out, wash people's cars, clean people's yards, paint people's houses. I don't care. You generate the money somehow using manual labor to go out and generate enough cash to become a fully fledged property sourcer. In the US, you know, you have to get a license to sell real estate. And I think that's a wonderful thing that everybody should do in America. Because there's only three asset classes, right? You've got property. So you need to be qualified for that, right? There are property, stocks and shares, and business. You want to get involved in all of those. So why would you not learn as much as you can, get all the paperwork in place, and make sure you've got that? Okay, next question is, do you think HS2 train will impact prices of houses, especially in Birmingham? Yes, it probably will. So a couple of years ago, probably 12 years ago, those people who live in Dulwich, you can confirm this, but Dulwich didn't have a tube station, and then they were building the tube station. And it was always my idea to buy in Dulwich near to where the tube station, expecting it to rise up. And honestly, that was 15 years ago. I don't know what I was thinking back then, and I've never followed it up. But I pretty much guarantee that those house prices shot up through the roof. So I actually think the house prices will increase. And this is the other thing that I see happening because of COVID, okay? Those people who've got city centre apartments, and I've got city centre apartments, they're going to want to move out because we've had people stuck in 25 square metres worth of apartment for 6 months, potentially, in the UK. So that's hard. That's really, really hard. We've had people stuck in two-bed luxury grade two listed apartments, and they've found it hard. Heck, we found it hard in a four-bed villa with a swimming pool. So if we find it hard, everybody else is finding it hard too. So I think people are moving out of city centres. So if they're moving out of city centres, they're going to move to somewhere where there's greenery, number one, I think. And a great investment, by the way, is like three-bed semis with a swing set in the backyard for young families to come in, or stay 10 years, never have any problems with them, just keep up to date with the maintenance and so on. They never move out. They're really good. And if they do, you know, it's like they're in for 7 years. But I think people are moving out to the outskirts, but communication hubs, transport hubs is going to be absolutely vital. So you've got to make sure you've got super fast Wi-Fi. If you're in a BT area, one of my houses is in a BT area, and to this day, they've got a 2.5 megabit connection. 2.5 meg. Like, you can't even watch Netflix on that. It's in LS16, a big suburb in Leeds, and BT still got copper. So crazy, right? So make sure the Wi-Fi is super fast broadband, okay? And then also, how far away are people from the park and ride or the train station? That kind of thing. And I think HS2, do you think people are going to want to stay in London? Like, I'm not a great lover of London. It's too big. It's too concrete-y for me. And so I'm definitely not into that. And I think people after COVID are going, hang on a minute, this has been hell on earth. I want parks and open spaces. And so I think there's an opportunity with HS2. Now, I don't know enough about Birmingham or HS2. I do believe it's a massive waste of money when we've got suburbs with 2.5 megabit broadband, and we're spending just insert whatever billion you want into that and double it, right? And twice as long, because it's the government. Anything the government does is twice as expensive and twice as long. I think it's a waste of money, by the way. I think there are much more important things we should be spending money on, like solving homelessness, for example, and HS2 not going ahead would probably solve that. Did that answer your question, Rahim? Let me know. And I will stop for drinks because it's just so hot here. All right, next question. If it does crash with the government reintroducing stamp duty, we could find more people in negative equity, meaning more potential for lease options. Absolutely. I mean, this is the thing. Prices go up, prices go down. Where are you right now on that cycle? Number one question. Number two question, where is society on that cycle? And it's kind of like this. This is how I used to see lettings and property. And the key word there is used to. So when prices were going up, property rentals didn't really kind of move up a lot. And then as prices kind of stagnate, the rentals, there's an increase in the rents, the percentage of rents. And if you can see this, it's like a bicycle. So, you know, the left pedal is sales and the right pedal is rentals. And, as the cycle goes on, that's exactly what's happening. It's kind of different now, and I don't know if it's due to a lot of immigration or if people are moving out earlier. Like in the UK, people are moving out of home at 18. There's an increase in divorce. More housing is needed. Forget about immigration for a second. People move out earlier, and people get divorced, and people split up, and so on, right? And people are still having babies, right, as they should be. So. Plus, then there's immigration. One of the things I thought was quite funny last month was, Brexit this and Brexit that and stopping immigration. And then suddenly the Hong Kong situation, what is there, like 2.5 million people from Hong Kong now have the doors open to them. So the whole Brexit thing happens and then the doors are open for Hong Kong. So if 250,000 people come in. So I thought that was quite funny. But for me, there will always be people wanting to rent and there will always be people wanting to buy. But what we have is we have these cycles. Okay, so you've got to work out where do you think we are in this cycle. Now, if you're trying to work out where we are in this cycle, you are trying to time the market. And I don't believe you should be trying to time markets. I'm not that clever. And you might be cleverer than me, but I still don't believe you're clever enough to time the market because there's so many variables that come into it. You've got like just the big ones right now. There's loads, right? So you've got Brexit. You've got COVID, you've got Boris, you've got the Black Lives Matter, and I'm not sure how even that interrupts the housing market and so on. I just have zero idea how that actually interrupts it. You've got increasing divorce, you've got death rate, you've got, there's fewer babies being born. What impact does that have? Now you're trying to put all these different variables and come up with an answer. How does that work? At best, it's a guess. Have you ever seen the Drake equation? The Drake equation says about how many alien species there should be. And it uses, like, I think 11 or 12 different ways, different variables of trying to calculate whether there should be alien species. And you can end up with a number of 36, which was a number someone came up with last month, which I thought was quite very specific. It's 36 alien species in our galaxy. Very, very specific number. Or it's 4 billion, right? So it's like, it's crazy. You're trying to work out all this stuff. Using random variables. It is literally impossible to do. We have some supercomputers that do the weather. Do you remember Michael Fish? Oh, there's definitely no storm coming. A storm comes along. I know that's in the 80s and the supercomputers we had back then were not very good. It's probably more power in my laptop. But we can still only do weather 3 or 4 days ahead, 10 days maybe at a push, right? There's all these different variables, and I don't think we should be reading variables and trying to work out what to invest in next. There's some really basic bog standard stuff that we should be doing in our property journey. And the really basic bog standard stuff is pay down any credit card debt, loans, consumer debt, any of that stuff has got to go. Car debt should be included in that. You shouldn't be paying monthly for a car. Any loans for anything, jacuzzis, hot tubs, all that should be, if you're going to buy one, you pay cash for it. And when you got spare cash, then you can buy a nicer one. Or you're using it, like I've got a problem right now with tax in that we're going to be paying too much tax. And so, it's, the question turns to, And we should interview a tax person. I can ask all my questions. But then it's like, how do we get legal tax deductions and what should we be doing? And so then we'll probably go into business financing a car just to reduce our corporation tax and our dividends and all of that kind of thing, right? But most people are not at that stage yet. Most people have got one job or maybe two jobs and a side hustle as well. And then we've got credit card debt and car loans. And so this is the really basic stuff, is that you've got to start paying all that stuff down. When you pay all that stuff down, and I get if you're doing lease options, that is a goal towards helping you pay that stuff down as well. And that's good. I think that's very, very good. But you also have to realize that a lease option deal is not a long-term investment in property. It's a short-term cash raising activity. Okay. And I know some people will disagree with that, and that's okay to disagree with that, by the way. Okay, so let's have a look. Rahim, thank you for joining today, Rahim, by the way. And anybody else who's watching, just give me a big heads up. Let me know you're watching. So Rahim's saying, I've recently started looking into deal sourcing. You should buy my course, £27. And curious as to why estate agents tend to be so difficult to work with. Love it. With especially when they are still getting a good deal. Do you know why this may be? Do you know what? You could have £1 billion in a bank and you go, I'm cash buyer. Here's my proof. Just I'll buy anything you've got. They will still wait 2 weeks to book you in. Oh, we're very busy. We're very, very busy. You know, when you go past the front of the estate agents and we're all sat in the offices playing solitaire, no, we're very busy. I have no idea why that is. I hate estate agents. And if you're a estate agent, I don't apologize. I have no idea why that is. In my world, when a lead comes in, the longer we leave it, the deader it gets. I call it the dead zone, right? It's one of my little things that I call it. And the lead comes into an estate agent, but don't reply to it. I just have no idea. On the other side of things, I think estate agents, they get so many tire kickers. People come in and go, I'm a cash buyer. And they go, have you got proof of funds? We go, no. Or they'll say yes, actually. And then they ask for proof of funds. They never quite get them. And so they know that they are wasting time, and you're saying that you primarily rent to rent, and I get that as well, but also the estate agents have this kind of god complex. Well, I've been an estate agent for 20 years and there's nothing that you can teach me about property that I don't already know. And so you say, so you know about lease option agreements? I go, no, they're illegal, we don't use them. Oh, no, you know about rent to rent? Oh no, subletting, that's illegal. Like, this is it's the same with solicitors, by the way. If a solicitor doesn't know how to do something, therefore it's illegal. So, you know, if you come across a solicitor who doesn't know how to do it, go visit 10, 20, 30. When you get to your 50th, if they're all still saying it, then it probably is illegal, right? But don't just take the word of one person. How many estate agents are you speaking with? So the other thing here is that you've got to build the relationship with your estate agent. So let me talk about that for a few minutes. And if anyone else got any other comments, then please put them in there. So with estate agents, what you got to do is you got to move in on them really slow. So let me use it as a dating analogy. Let's say you're in college, at university, and there's a girl or guy that you like in your class. You cannot go up and go, hey, let's go for a date and let's go to the cinema and let's have food and let's do bowling and all this stuff. Like, it's too much. It's too in the face. Okay. What you got to do is you got to get to know them a little bit first. It's just like dating, right? As random as that sounds. All sales, which is what you're doing, is like dating. You can't go out and ask someone, you know, what the firstborn is going to be called and start naming kids and working out where you're going to live. You can't do that on the first date. So the very first time when you walk into an estate agent, if that's what you're doing, or phoning them, you have to introduce them to you in a delicate and subtle manner. If you come in and go, hey, I'm a rent-to-renter, we've got all these tenants waiting, blah, 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 they hear it all day long, too much, and it turns them off massively, okay? So what you've got to do is you've got to go in and you've got to say, yeah, we're looking for properties right now. And they'll go, well, what are you looking for? And you go, do you know what? I'm looking for 4 beds or 5 beds to either purchase or to rent. And they go, okay, so are you a cash buyer? And you go, no, I'm not a cash buyer. If we purchase, we're going to get a mortgage. And if we rent, obviously, we've got deposit funds. We want to do the place up a little bit and we want to rent it, you know, for like the next 7 to 10 years. Okay, so now you get into your spiel. Now, you might be buying it and you might not be buying it. So you're kind of pushing the envelope a little bit there. But really, what you want to do is you just want to go in, you want to give that information, and then you want to be really nice. And then you might want to then leave. Okay, and then you follow up. On that very first contact, too many people are trying to get the keys to the kingdom and they're trying to have babies before they're even getting the first date, right? So that's your first date. Like, people now know you exist. So now that people know you exist, you've got to date them. Like, not really date them. Don't, like, you know, bring them flowers and stalk them or anything like that. That's probably not the best idea. But you've got to date them in such a way that they get to know you, get to like you, they get to know that you're serious. You're building credibility up over a period of time. This is just basic sales stuff, right? This is basic marketing stuff. Whenever we take on a client for marketing, this is what we're doing. I was having a chat with a chap today, and we were talking stage one in sales. People got a KLT, know, like, and trust you. That's stage one. Stage two, you've got to match your offering with what they need. Okay, so if you're on stage one, they've got to know you, because if they don't know you, ain't doing business. They've got to like you. If they don't like you, they're not doing business. And they've got to trust you. So you've got to start trying to build trust in some kind of way, okay, and credibility as well. So you've got to keep going in and building that up. When you've got that first batch, then you can start matching requirements with what they've got. So you've got a product which it's a product, right? Your product is 10 years guaranteed rent, no voids, right? No tenant problems. They've got the product that you want. So you've got to sell what you do to these guys, right? They're going to buy it from you effectively and then pass it on to their landlord effectively. Okay, I hope you can kind of see where I'm going with this. So, like, the analogy, if you like. So your product is no voids, guaranteed rent, minor problems being fixed with no hassle. That's what you're selling to the estate agent. But if you're going in and trying to sell that straight away, and they don't even know who you are, they don't know you, they don't like you, they don't trust you, you've got zero credibility. These are the things that you've got to put in place. And until you do that, This is where I think most rent-to-renters and property sources actually go wrong. They're trying to get the kids' names before they get to a first date. Does that make sense, Rahim? Let me know. Let's have a look. I've contacted roughly 5 or 10 different estate agents at the moment. I'm just getting my feet wet at the moment to try and understand how everything works. What does your deal sourcing course have to offer? Click the link. It's all in there. We're having a chat with the same guy actually today, and he's gone through the deal sourcing and he's bought a couple of copies for him and his friends, which I thought was amazing. So thank you very much, by the way, for that, Dan, if you ever get to watch or listen to this. And just look at the reviews. The reviews talk, say everything that you need to know, and it's £27. Just buy the damn thing. But the key here is that the way most people are selling this stuff, they say things like, Yeah. You just go into an estate agent and you tell them what they want, and then they have a list of things that they have, and then they'll either do the deal or they won't do the deal. Well, that is completely wrong. Like, it is kind of accurate, but that happens much further down the line. If you're going in and you're not trying to warm people up to get to know, like, and trust you, forget it. It's not happening. Like Rahim, for example, who's very kindly asking questions and so on. Thank you for that, Rahim. I have no idea who you are, okay? So if we met at a networking event, I'd be standoffish because I don't know who you are, okay? This is one of the weird bits that happens, by the way. I've had this happen a couple of times. You go to a networking event, people come up to you and they know who you are, right? I've watched all your podcasts, I've listened to your videos and so on. It's a bit weird because I do not know who they are. So they might know, like, and trust me, but I don't know who they are. So they then have to build that credibility in the KLT. They might also want to do business with me, but I still don't know who they are. And even if they want to give me money and become a client, I still want to know who they are before I make that decision to do business with them. Even though they are my customer in a marketing point of view, like, to become a client of ours, you've got to be, you know, you've got to build a relationship with us. That's how we really work. So, because we only do work with people we want to work with, you see. But you've got to build up that KLT, and most people right now, when they're going into estate agents, they're not building that. And that's where you're probably struggling and why estate agents are so offish. They have no idea who you are. You're just one of many that day. You know that top drawer, that secret top drawer that estate agents have full of investors? And like, the reason why they have that secret top drawer full of investors is that these investors have built a relationship over time, and that should be your job as well. You've got to start building up a relationship over a period of time. Okay, any more questions? People might be typing, you see. If not, I think we'll call it there because we've done a good 30 minutes there. Anyway, Raheem, go buy that training course. You'll love it. It's really cool. It's basically me talking to camera, and we cover so much different stuff. The feedback we've had on that training course is amazing. Like, people saying they did a weekend course, they paid thousands of pounds, then they did my £27 course, and the £27 course was better. And people kind of confuse the low price point to mean the quality of the education that's in it, and that isn't accurate. The quality of the education in that course, even though it's 27 quid, is go take a look. You'll love it, honestly. Okay, I don't think there's anything else. So thank you very much for joining today. Other than that, we'll speak to you on Friday. I think we'll do more sat down here because it's quite nice. We're actually here. Let me show you. I can actually show you around. Here we go. There's, so just to prove that we are actually here, there's the pool. I don't know if you can see that from the reflection. There's our swimming, our super slide, which we saw on a video. We thought, do you know what? We've got to buy that. And it cost us like 150 quid. So we went and bought that slide. It's amazing, by the way. And every time I sit in it, my little five-year-old tries to turn the tap on so I get wet. I'm too quick for her. And thank you, Ryan, for joining. Thank you, everybody else, for joining. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you for that as well. I'm live again on Friday, Mindset and Hustle Show. Come and join me for that. Other than that, we'll speak to you on Friday. Have a good week. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Use the gel wherever you can. Take gel with you. Please stay safe as you can. And we'll speak to you on Friday. My name's Dan Latta. I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.